Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello again, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Burning Hearts. This is Elizabeth Repka. I am your guest host this week, standing in for Rachel Herbeck. If you've been with us these past few days, you know that Rachel's on mission in Africa, and we are so grateful that she gets to engage in mission and help the people there and be part of that mission team. And we certainly miss her. I know you'll be glad to have her back with you soon, but in the meantime, you get me. So we've been this week digging in to Romans chapter 12. And we're about halfway through, maybe just a little bit more than halfway through now. And we're going to continue today with verse 9. If you missed the first 3 days, feel free to go back and listen to those. We went through verses 1 through 8, and it's been a joy. It's been a pleasure to be with you and reflect on the Word of God with you. Paul has been kind of digging in here in chapter 12 with the response that we are to make to God because of what he has done for us, how we're to live, how we're meant to engage that covenantal family relationship with him because of the grace and the mercy he has poured into our lives, because we have been knit into his family, knit into the body of Christ through the sacrament of baptism, and that we're bound together as one people, one church, through that grace, through that sacramental union. And now, as we go forward in verses 9 and following, we're going to start to see some of the things that he prescribes for how we can do that. And if you've been with us the past few days, I told you that I have a couple translations I'm looking at, the RSV and the Knox Bible, and I'm going to read right now from the Knox Bible. And if you missed what that is, you can go back to Monday's episode and listen to that. Your love must be sincere love. You must hold what is evil in abomination. Fix all your desire upon what is good. Be affectionate towards each other, as the love of brothers demands, eager to give one another precedence. I would see you unwearied in activity, aglow with the Spirit, waiting like slaves upon the Lord, buoyed up by hope, patient in affliction, persevering in prayer, providing generously for the needs of the saints, giving the stranger a loving welcome. Bestow a blessing on those who persecute you. A blessing, not a curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with the mourner. Live in harmony of mind, falling in with the opinions of common folk instead of following conceited thoughts. Never give yourselves airs of wisdom. All right, well, that's verses 9 through 16 in the book of Romans chapter 12, if you're following along with your Bibles. And one of the reasons I love this particular translation is this line in particular: fix all your desire upon what is good. I kind of want to put that on a sticker and stick it to my water bottle or my laptop or maybe write it on my mirror. I want to meditate on that every day of my life. Fix all your desire upon what is good. It's easy to say the words and hard to do. Like, what is, oh man, that's a lot to do. How do I fix all my desire on what is good? My desires are definitely conflicted, and they're tugged in a lot of different directions. And they're probably not 100% of every single day fixed upon what is good. I need to ask the Lord for grace every day to help me to do this. And I'd invite you to join me to ask the Lord to send his Holy Spirit to make it, to give me what I need through his help to fix all my desire upon what is good. And I think these verses are really precious because they give us a sense of what that good is. Your love must be sincere. You must hold what is evil in abomination. Be affectionate towards each other. as the love of brother demands, eager to give one another precedence. If you're familiar with other translations of the scripture, that's where it says, you know, outdo one another in showing honor. Paul does advise here to outdo one another in showing honor. And that is a hard thing to do humanly. We are wired in our fallen human nature to want honor for ourselves, not to almost make it a competition to honor the other. But you know what Paul is really laying out here is kind of a profound checklist of what it means to really love. And love is self-sacrificing. Love reflects the love of God, which gave everything, poured out everything, sacrificed even his life. That's the love we're called to imitate. And that's hard. That's hard to do. Selfless sacrificial love is to will the good of the other no matter the cost. That's hard. That demands something of me. And, you know, outdoing one another and showing honor, or eager to give one another precedence, is one way to do that. It's one way, and it's maybe a less painful way, you know. It is sacrificial, but it also has a joy to it, to rival one another in showing each other honor. There's a joy to that. I also, he talks about being unwearied in activity, aglow with the Spirit. A line that really stood out to me as I read this is waiting like slaves upon the Lord. I don't know if you're familiar with that psalm. I don't know which one it is off the top of my head, but our eyes are fixed on the Lord, waiting for his mercy. As the eyes of a slave are on the hands of their master, so are our eyes on the Lord our God. The words are there, the exact scriptural chapter and verse is not, but if you've heard that before, that's what that makes me think of, and that phrasing is unique to the Knox translation, that we will wait like slaves upon the Lord. And so that image from that psalm is what is coming to mind for that. The person who is in the service of their master is waiting with their eye fixed on his hand for any movement, for any invitation to serve. And they jump when he calls. They are immediate in their desire to serve their master. And so we are waiting in that way upon the Lord. We want to follow his command, not our own command, not our own plan. We wait upon him and we respond to him. And we and our entire lives are meant to be in service to him. So that's a tough one, right? That could be a challenge. That could be all we talk about today is the challenge of what it means to fix our eyes intently on Jesus and do only what he commands. That's hard. But we also get just a lot of other things here that give us a sense of what that command looks like. We are to be buoyed by hope, patient in affliction, persevering in prayer. I think that's another key that we can cling to today, brothers and sisters, persevering in prayer. And that's coupled with patience in affliction, right? It matters that we are in dialogue with God every single day. It matters that he is our closest confidant, our best friend, our most treasured conversation partner. And it matters perhaps even more so when we are in affliction. We can't be patient in affliction apart from prayer, apart from persevering in prayer. And I think that triad, buoyed by hope, patient in affliction, persevering in prayer, is an incredible offering to us from St. Paul here in chapter 12. Hope, patience, perseverance. We need all three of those things to navigate the treacherous reality of the world in which we're journeying. We're in this earthly pilgrimage making our way to heaven, and it's not easy. And we're surrounded by challenges and struggles and tensions and enemies, and it's not easy And we need these. We need these gifts of God's grace, hope, patience, perseverance. This definitely makes me think of heaven as the goal of our life, and that being buoyed by hope for me looks like the hope of heaven, of knowing that this life is not all there is, that I am meant for another world, that whatever the tribulations and struggles and afflictions that I might encounter in this life, they're not the end of the story. There's more for me. There's more for you. We are meant for another homeland. We are meant for heaven. And so we can rejoice in our hope because that is our hope. Our hope is eternal union with God Himself for eternity. That hope allows us to be patient in tribulation. It gives us strength and courage to be patient when things are hard. It gives us a goal to strive towards when things are weighing us down or burdening our souls. But we need to be constant in prayer. We cannot flag in this. We need to talk to God every single day. So that's another thing I would just challenge you to, brothers and sisters. I've been giving you little challenges every day, right? But if you're not praying every day, start. Start today. It can be a small offering. God loves little things. He multiplies little things. He expands our tiny offerings. I think of the loaves and the fishes, right? It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be an hour. Start with 5 minutes. But if you're not praying, if you're not talking to Jesus every day, don't wait to start. It will change your life. It will change your life. And if you're not sure how this could be a dialogue, well, starting with the Word of God is a great thing because that is Him speaking to us. We can take in His Word, meditate on His Word, chew on His Word. He's speaking to us, and then we can respond and we can talk back. And it can give us a framework for just the start of a little offering of prayer. But if you're not praying, please, please, brothers and sisters, begin today. Make it a priority of your every single day. Don't ever give that up. It is like breath to our lungs. In the catechism on the section of prayer, there I forget which saint it's quoting, but it says, those who pray will live and those who do not pray will certainly die. That is definitely a paraphrase. It's something along those lines. But to not pray, it's death. It's cutting ourselves off from life itself because it's a communication with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, with the Holy Spirit who empowers everything that we're trying to do here. So if you're not praying, pray. If you are praying, maybe challenge yourself to pray more. But no matter what, persevere in prayer. And if you're going through tribulation, if you're going through affliction, just cast yourself into the arms of your loving Father, into the arms of your Savior. And do that through prayer. Talk to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. It's one of the most important things you can do. All right, brothers and sisters, I will see you tomorrow. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.